Morning. Happy Easter. You get to see this morning what I get to see almost every day, even with the lights on. Absolutely beautiful. Nothing surpasses the light of God. We know that. I'm going to do something this morning. I'm not sure I should. It might be totally inappropriate, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was told this morning that this sunrise service is the first time one of our people has been to a sunrise service, since she was a senior in high school. And we thank you, Connie, for your loyalty to this church. We thank you for your devotion to this church, and you are an inspiration to all of us. Thank you for coming. By way of announcements, Bev and I went to the Maundy service Thursday night, and at that service, they gave us this. And this was symbolic or reflective of the towel that they used to wipe the sweat off Jesus' brow and his body as he was being crucified. And they told us to carry this for 4 days till Easter Sunday morning. And you know, when they went into the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, the towel was folded completely separate, neatly piled, all by itself, away from the rest of the garments that Jesus had. I got to tell you, it's a very symbolic thing. It makes you think. I also want to tell you that this morning we are going to have, we are not going to take up an offering. If you brought your offering and you're not going to be at the 11 o'clock service, that's fine. We put a plate in the back for you if you would like to do that. Or if you feel you want to give an offering, that's totally up to you, but there is an offering plate in the back. And we are also inviting all of you to breakfast. There's an unwritten rule that if you're going to be a United Methodist woman, you have to be a great cook. And we are at the top, let me tell you. There are a group of ladies here yesterday and early this morning. They have breakfast prepared. It is also free. The women's group is paying for it. So please stop by after the service. Enjoy a cup of coffee and a nice breakfast. Pardon? And there's an egg hunt, too. If you're young or young at heart, I don't know where all the eggs are, but Aaron Moore, are you in charge of that? Is Aaron in charge of that? Okay. She's probably down hiding eggs now, so we got that going on also. Okay, I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. We thank you for your support. We thank you for supporting us. And I ask you to prepare your heart and mind for the worship service today and the 11 o'clock. We ask you all come back to the 11 o'clock service too. We know Pastor Lisa's got a great service planned for us. So as Easton comes in and lights our candles this morning, we ask you to prepare your hearts and minds for worship. And I know you all know this, but Easton symbolically brought in the light of Christ to our service this morning. We thank him for that. Our praise song this morning is number 145. I think it's also on the screen. Morning has broken. Stand if you're able.
Thank you.
seated, please. Our call to worship this morning is being presented to you by Linda Graves and Sarah Hobson.
Jesus rides into Jerusalem upon a donkey. The crowds cheer, laying palm branches at his feet.
Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Jesus prepares his disciples for what's to come. The God of the universe kneels and washes their feet, instructing them to do likewise.
Hosanna, alleluia.
Jesus is arrested and unfairly tried. An offer is given. Rome can release Jesus, the Messiah, or the notorious prisoner Barabbas. The crowd responds.
Give us Barabbas.
Pilate asks, what should be done with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
Crucify him.
Jesus is mocked, beaten, a crown of thorns viciously pressed into his brow, forced to carry the tool of his own execution. He stumbles. Nails are driven through his feet and hands. The cross is raised before the glaring crowd. His charges clearly visible.
The King of the Jews.
Soldiers cast lots for his clothes. He thirsts and is given vinegar. He cries out in desperation, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He gives up his spirit.
It is finished.
Days later, the women head to a borrowed tomb where his body has been placed. But the large stone blocking the tomb has been rolled away. His body is gone. And in its place are nicely folded burial clothes. An angel speaks.
Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here.
He's alive. He's alive. Christ the Lord is risen today. He has conquered death.
And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives.
He is risen.
And in him we are renewed.
And our opening hymn, number 322, Up from the Grave He Arose. Stand if you're able.
You may be seated. Please bow in prayer. Okay. Dear God, thank you. Thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and power in your name. Thank you that you hold the keys over death, that by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have new life with you. Thank you that you had planned, that you made a way. We confess our need for you, fresh, new, again. We ask that you renew our hearts, minds, and lives for the days ahead. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, hissing his lies and attacks our way, we trust that your voice speaks louder and stronger, reminding us that we are safe with you and that your purposes and plans will not fail. We ask that you will be our defense and rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles and covering the pitfalls. Lord, lead us on your level ground. Shine your light in us, through us, and over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us. May all your plans succeed. We may reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healings. Thanks be to you, God, for your indescribable gift. To you be the glory and honor on this resurrection day and forever. And let us continue to pray. Praise God with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When I was asked earlier who was doing the sunrise service, I said there were young and older people. I didn't say old, I said older. But we are blessed this morning because Kylie's here to sing for us, and later you're going to see the interpretive choir. We thank these kids for getting up on Easter morning and coming in and share their talents with us.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. The circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak the circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that I'll break through what happened today.
Kylie found hers at a young age, and we thank you, Kylie, for sharing your talent with us, your gift. Our scripture lesson this morning is going to be read by Linda Schramm. She's staying in her pew. She has a microphone. She's reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18.
Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but it was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying, and as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And then she told them what he said to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Side thought, do you know that it took Jesus' voice for Mary to recognize him? One word, Mary, and she knew who he was. If you read Pastor Lisa's devotional this morning, she read that same, she included that same scripture in part of her message, and she said, I hope I'm not stealing her sermon, she said, I wonder how many times Jesus has called my name and I didn't even know it. That's something that we can all think about, I think. The significance and the importance of light in our lives is older than mankind itself. Hear these words taken from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light." And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And from that time onward, light has always been considered to be a good thing. Man has established a variety of systems and techniques over the years that have established light as a necessity to living life itself. Remember the last time you lived in the dark for a substantial length of time because of a power outage? And I'm sure you will agree with me and God that light was and still is a very good thing. So good, in fact, that the use of the light of day has become essential to our lifestyles. So let me give you a couple of examples. Over the years, car manufacturers have developed systems on their cars so that the headlights automatically turn on when the cars are started, day or night. Many of our home devices now include what we call pilot lights, so that with the push of a button or the flip of a switch, we have instant heat or power. Lighthouses that were constructed centuries ago still function with lights to guide ships safely out on their journeys. Airports use runway lights to provide paths for takeoff and landing of hundreds of planes every day. I could go on and on about the value of light in our daily lives and give you countless more examples. But there are many more benefits of light in our world than just the man-made ones. Think about this. The value of the natural light of the sun and its effects on our lifestyles. Would you agree with me that during the arrival of the season of spring, particularly after a long, dark winter, many of us are more than ready for a peek of the sun? For two reasons. With the arrival of the spring and summer, sun also comes warmth and longer periods of daylight. Who doesn't appreciate those changes in our lives? We also are very aware of the importance of sunlight to everything in nature. Plants and crops need light, sunlight, in order to grow, mature, and develop. Farmers plant the seeds that need and rely on the sun and its heat so they can provide the crops that eventually will feed the world. And let's not forget about the vitamin D we need to take in our daily lives. It all sounds so simple, doesn't it? So much so that maybe too often we take the sun, S-U-N, and later we're going to hear the S-O-N for granted. It's not a good thing to do. So what does anything that I've said to you this morning have to do with why we are here? We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and acknowledge that the words of the prophets and God himself were fulfilled. We are here because we believe that Jesus was the Son, the S-O-N, of God himself. And because he conquered death and died for our sins, we will too one day see the glory of heaven. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Talk about the significance of light. It is so important that for one of her titles of this Lenten season, Pastor Lisa chose, "Be the Light." That means that you and I are meant to put the light of the sun in your life, in our lives. Keeping that in mind, I'm going to ask you this morning to lighten up just a bit. I'm even going to give you some examples of how you could do that. Hear me out. For no other reason than it is the right thing to do, because Jesus has called you to follow him, do this. Be the light at the end of someone else's tunnel. You figure out who and how. Keep the home fires, keep the home lights burning. Make your home a welcome center for someone other than yourself. Use your imagination, your own personal creativity. Be that person who puts a light in someone else's eyes, or better yet, in someone else's heart. There's an expression that states, if you can't find a friend, go out and be one. Don't keep all the good you could do in this world locked up inside yourself. If you improve someone else's life, it is guaranteed you will improve your own. Just do it for the right reasons. One of the most meaningful posters I have ever seen contains the picture of a very bright moon against the backdrop of a very dark sky. The caption reads, "I left a light on for you." And it is simply yet powerfully signed, "God." We are all familiar with these words Jesus spoke as he hung dying on the cross. "It is finished." You heard Linda and Sarah read that this morning. But we also know that it was far from finished. I don't expect to hear any argument from you that it indeed was over. Jesus did die on that cross. But, and don't you just love the buts in life, with the coming of the third day, that new dawn, came the awareness and knowledge that just as it had been prophesied, Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that, my friends, is why you and I are here today. Let me leave you with these words from 1 John chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Brother Carey is going to take over.
Good morning. It's strange that Brother Russ, normally I always choose my topics. He told me what I was going to do. He even gave me a time limit. Where's Karen? She's supposed to wave at me if I go over. But, there you are. It's a funny thing. I left my home this morning about 7:15, and I was blinded by the light as I drove east on French Line Road. And all I did was pray and think about this special morning of Easter as I came. When I turned to the north, I go, oh, I can finally see. Sitting over here, I've been blinded by the light ever since I sat down here this morning. I'm sure there's a message there. I'll have to think about it. What does it mean? The light shines through the darkness is my title. In my readings is from the Gospel of John verses glasses. One through five. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. Let me repeat that. I want you to understand that sentence. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to every one of you. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. What do you think that means? Well, I'll do my best to try to explain that this morning. What does it mean, the light shines through the darkness? The opening verses of John's Gospel introduces us to Jesus Christ as the incarnation of God. John wants his readers to know that Jesus is fully God in human form. John then reveals the purpose of God coming to earth as a human. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. Jesus Christ came to bring the light of God's life into a spiritually dark, evil, and dying world. In Genesis, the creation of light was God's first creative move. Let there be light. In the process of generating life, light was God's initial act for illuminating the dark and formless void of the earth. It was the inaugural instance of God shining light in the darkness. And God saw that it was good when he separated the light from the darkness. When John spoke of the incarnation, he was echoing the creation account. Scripture tells us over and again that God is the source of life and light. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. You can see that in Psalms 36, verse 9. God is light. In him there is no darkness. At 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ is God's light, sent down to earth to pierce through the darkness. That light is God's life, both physical and eternal. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. The life within Christ is the life of God. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. In John chapter 5, verse 26. The Bible tells us that life of Christ serves as a light to all people. That life is the light of truth. The message of Christ's salvation and eternal life with God. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The brilliance of Christ's life and truth shine like a light in the darkness of this world. A beacon in the darkness. In the New Testament, light and darkness are common symbols of good and evil. It's clear that light in John chapter 1, verse 5 represents life and ultimately eternal life with God in his heavenly kingdom. Darkness is the absence of light. That also means the lack of God. Darkness represents the power of evil, sin, and unbelief in this world, all of which lead to eternal death. Darkness can be priorities that we may have, that we may have had before God and church. So what do I mean by priorities? In other words, we find other things to do. Could be pleasures, our personal desires, driving for money or success. We do sports. We sleep in. We party. Sometimes we even work instead of going to church and worshiping God. There are exceptions for doctors, nurses, police, and firemen, and even sometimes farmers, especially dairy farmers. John continues to focus on the theme of light and darkness throughout his gospel. Jesus proclaims to the people, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. John 1:5 says, the darkness has not overcome the light because evil cannot overpower Jesus Christ, who states, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. You can find that in John 12, verse 46. Jesus declared that those who believe in the light become sons and daughters of light. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. I mentioned that word time. My adult Sunday school class knows all about time. Who wants to tell them? Okay. Time is the most valuable commodity that every human has. More valuable than gold, diamonds, or anything else. Don't believe me? Think about your life and then put time there. We must make time for God in our life. We must have a relationship with God. According to the Apostle Paul, Christians have passed from darkness into light. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. As it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Why? Because this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. By loving one another, believers shine light into the darkness. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are even going, because the darkness has blinded them. Have any of you ever walked outdoors in late December or early January without a light on? I guarantee you, you can't see your feet. I've experienced it, so I know. And if there's no moon, it's really dark. The nature of light is to shine, and the darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. Just as a bright street lamp discourages criminal activity at night, so the light of Christ dispels the darkness of sin in the world. Just as the first rays of dawn pierce the blackness of night, God's light and truth carry a spiritual awakening to darkened hearts. He is the bright morning star. Jesus is the giver of life and the bearer of light. The Son of God continues to shine his light to all mankind through his church, the body of Christ. Whoever believes in him receives eternal life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. A walk is to make gradual progress in life, to be children of light. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It doesn't say run. It says walk. It is a gradual process of growing to be children of light. It doesn't matter if you're a young child, middle-aged, or old like me. I wasted many years of my life, but it's still a gradual process. I came back to God because of what I learned early in my life as a child. Christians are meant to grow in holiness and to mature in faith as they follow the Son of Light, becoming more like Christ every day. That's our job. That is our purpose, to become more like Christ each and every passing day. There we are again, each passing day, time. To walk in the light means to know God, understand the truth, and live in righteousness. Boy, that's a hard chore to do, isn't it? Living in righteousness. Because we are only human. But we have to try and do our best that we possibly can. Believers in Christ must confess any darkness within themselves, their sins and transgressions, and allow the Son of Light to shine His light through them. Oh, wow. How am I going to do that? I got secrets. I don't want to tell my sins to anybody. To build a relationship with God, to be a true Christian, an active Christian, you must do a thorough moral inventory of yourself. And that is a very difficult task, to be honest about yourself. It's so easy for us to be critical of someone else and compare ourselves. Oh, I'm better than that person. Look in the mirror and do a thorough moral inventory of yourself to build a relationship with God. Jesus, the Son of Light, died a cruel death on the cross for all of us, for the forgiveness of our sins. Not His sins, our sins! He was resurrected 3 days later to eternal life. Hey, guess what? That's today. The resurrection. Easter. Do you think anyone else can save you or forgive you of your sins? Do you think anyone else can offer eternal life to you? Do you think there's anything more valuable than eternal life? Then please come to let Jesus, the Son of Light, shine His light through each of us to rid our lives of darkness. Did someone say why? Because He lives today and every day. Where am I? Oh, we have a special treat. The interpretive choir. These beautiful young girls do such a magnificent job. And their leader, Aaron.
Come on and rise up, take a breath, you're alive now.
down. Our closing hymn this morning is 302, Christ the Lord is risen today. Oh, The Benediction by Linda Grace and Sarah Hobson.
The world is full of turmoil and unrest.
He is risen.
We want to help, but we don't know where to start.
Take heart. He has overcome the world.
You prayed for the unity of your church, but we are not unified.
He is risen.
We long to be a vibrant, healing community of faith.
He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it.
My heart is full of turmoil and unrest.
He is risen.
I need your power inside of me.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you, Linda, Sarah. Now I'd like to invite all of you to breakfast. And with that, we will pray for the breakfast this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon all of us. We thank you for what you have done for each of us. Going to the cross, dying for the remission of our sins, and to be resurrected 3 days later. We celebrate Easter today for what you've done to give us the great hope of eternal life. We ask you, Lord, to bless all that are here this morning and to thank them for being here and to invite them down for breakfast. We ask you to bless that food, to nourish our bodies, and help us to be a more active Christian in our daily lives. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.